Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. Thank you so much for joining me on this show where I cover all kinds of different topics, really. But this week we are focusing on the sobriety piece and the amazing, incredible benefits of sobriety and what we can do to preserve it and just ensure that we live our best life without alcohol, really. Just before I get into that, though, just to share a few things that are going on. I'm sure some of you are aware that UK Health Radio are my media partners for the Platinum Awards. It's an awards program that I run every year, and we aim to recognize the best in natural products, natural services, and whether that's a well-being author with a great book, which, by the way, doesn't have to be with a major publisher. We look at the content. Perhaps you're a one-man band making natural skincare. Maybe you run a retreat. There's a really wide berth because I want these awards to be truly holistic. So if that's you and you'd like to enter our awards, it would be great to be able to give you some promo. It's platinumawards.co.uk, so check it out. And if you would like to vote or nominate your favourite brand or product, then have a look at imperfectlynatural.com. We've got a whole range of fantastic sneak previews there, and also some great competitions. So there's an opportunity to enter and try and win one of our amazing entries. We've got a whole bunch of brands who've given us really great competitions, so it'd be good to have you there as well. So just go over to imperfectlynatural.com. And then back on the sobriety piece, most of you know that I run the Sober Club, which is a platform, a non-judgmental platform for the sober curious and those who've been sober for a long while, because it's all about the holistic picture. It's all about what happens next and how we can just live our best lives without alcohol. So there's just everything there. There's a huge member portal, chock full of great content. So do come and join us in the Sober Club if that's of interest. There really is some good stuff on board. One of the things that I talk about a lot in that community is the importance of taking care of yourself. In the early weeks of sobriety, eating really well, having great nutrition is absolutely key. People don't think that it matters. You know, I hear people say, oh, I may as well lose a few pounds as well, so I'll stop eating. Absolutely not. This is the time that your brain chemistry is very confused. So if you are in the early stages of quitting booze, then well done you, but please get the nutrition right. In Sober Club, we've got some amazing videos and expert sessions around nutrition, because it's absolutely key to the success in the early weeks. And of course, mindset is important too, and making sure that you've got some way of just kind of switching off, I suppose you could say. You know, you're not going to be numbing out through alcohol. So what else can you do in a healthy way that just takes your mind off the stress or whatever's going on for you? Can you use meditation or mindfulness? Is there an app you can use? Again, in the Sober Club, I've got some amazing resources, lots of guided meditations, a fantastic movement medicine session where you can shake it all out, just a whole host of opportunities to find a different way to de-stress other than reaching for alcohol, which of course isn't actually, you know, it isn't actually a relaxant. In fact, it's a depressant. We forget that. We tend to think that it makes us relax or it makes us feel more confident. It's actually not true. The emperor's not wearing any clothes at all. So instead, focus on the stuff that makes you feel good. And that's what we're going to be talking about on this show this week. Susan is one of my long-term friends. She is the founder of Hola Sober. It's an incredible free magazine. It's such a great magazine that she puts together. I'm thrilled to be one of the writers for that magazine. And Susan also runs a community for women. And she's just the most amazing, inspirational person. And she's had her own journey recently and really come back to recognizing the importance of self-care and setting boundaries.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles, and viruses. Try NasalGuard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Susan, how fantastic to see you in the sunshine. In
and
Madrid.
It's important to see you too. And I'm happy that I'm not the only one in sunshine, that you actually now finally have sunshine in.
Hey, yeah, finally. Yeah.
Sunshine and you're in rain.
I know, absolutely. Susan, we've not spoken for a while, but I know that a topic that we've discussed in the past, and it seems fitting to talk about it again, is the topic of self-care. And, you know, let's go through a few of those bits and pieces, but particularly around setting boundaries and how boundaries come into self-care. So just tell us a bit about what's been going on with you, because you've been queen of setting a few boundaries lately, right?
I have been the queen of setting boundaries, and I'm actually quite proud of the boundaries that I've set. I haven't been feeling very well, and I'm very tired, and I do have cardiovascular disease, and it had accelerated. And as you know, it's kind of a one-woman show with a crowd of volunteers at Over Silver. And I just found myself like feeling like a hamster on a wheel, that I was trying to do so very much and to deliver and deliver and deliver. And I felt that the time had come that I had sort of developed and grown the community, the organization, the magazine to such a scale that it was okay for me to take my foot off the gas and step back and to put in place Lisa Hamill and Linda and Lynn to take over the reins, and Prudence, who has been a super help to me over the last few years. And in stepping back, it's often very difficult for women in business or in the social space.
It's very difficult for your baby. This is very much your baby. It's you. It's literally
Absolutely.
You, isn't it?
It's my baby.
It's a really big thing.
I started off myself on the sofa, right?
Yeah.
5.5 years ago. And I registered the .com and everything on the 15th of February 2019. And I gave birth to this thing that is Ola Sober, and it is the sum of many, many parts. But I think that often women in a community, sober space or business, we're afraid to step back because we are somehow fearful of people looking upon us as weak if we step back.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
somehow fearful that people will think that, you know, something has happened, or we're fearful that we will be looked down upon because it all got too much.
Yeah.
And the culmination of those three things obviously was spinning in my head, but I had to make a very clear decision And I had to say that I believe I've done my piece, that I set poetry in motion. I adore the magazine. That's my baby. And no one's getting their hands on that one. and the community and the other parts, I will continue to do my Sunday. But really and truly, the community is supporting itself and being led. And I, you know, obviously I'm still the founder.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not involved in the day-to-day running. And no, I'm not answering all the emails anymore. And no, I'm not at late at night, you know, flying through the inbox. I am not doing more programs because I offered many, many programs in the academy. And I think that what happened was, outside of having conversations with a medical team, it was also the fact that, why am I flogging myself over here in the corner doing all of these things? For whom and for what? Mm. And that becomes a big question in sobriety, because you didn't get sober for this shite. So I got sober to be empowered, which I am. And I want all of the women to be empowered, which they are. And therefore, I trust the community to continue to grow and build. And I still host every Sunday. I've handed over the reins to others. And you know what? It's actually quite liberating.
I bet it is.
It's quite liberating to me. They say that, you know, going alcohol-free is the greatest act of self-care any woman can actually do.
Yeah.
Well, I would also wager that putting clear boundaries in place is the second greatest act that a woman at any time in her life can do. Because by putting the boundary in place, by saying I'm stepping back, I have stopped making myself available to women in need 24/7. There's a team of people who can now do that, and the women can support each other. And there's liberation in that, because I believe that you being the founder of the Sober Club and all that you do, it's sometimes hard to relinquish that.
Mm.
But it's actually really powerful, because you know what I now believe? And I think my husband's going, oh, my God. Well, I now believe there's another chapter in me.
Yeah, definitely.
In me.
Mm, yeah.
57 years of age. I've created and founded a community. It's rocking and it's rolling. I have my magazine and I adore it. But I am not giving up yet.
And the next
chapter, I don't know what shape it's going to take.
But what
I am absolutely convinced of is that I still have a lot to say.
Definitely.
And I want to say what I want to say. And I just don't want to have to take care of the day-to-day managing and running of a business, even though it's not a business, it's a community, which you know how much
work. Yeah, it still is a business. And there's still a ton of admin. I mean, I have many similar problems, but, you know, I haven't quite got the way out yet. But I am fully aware that you know, I absolutely love the work that I do. But I am sometimes there at midnight trying to sort out a bit of membership admin. For the Sober Club, which is crazy. There's no choice about it. It's crazy.
It is.
But
you know, we do that, websites and podcasts, and we do all of those things, and people do not understand the amount of time and effort that it takes.
But I think what's so lovely about what you've done, there's a few things that are lovely about it. Number one, you are properly taking care of yourself, and that's fantastic. You haven't left people in the lurch. You've asked for help. And that's a really big part of this, right? You've asked other people to step up. And in doing that, that shows, you know, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, right? So you've asked for help. But in asking for help, you've given them a fantastic opportunity to step up and do their bit, which they might not have had otherwise, you know? So I love that.
Yeah, and you're right. Because I, in stepping back, have empowered Lisa and Lynn and Prue. And I've said, right now, lads, there you go. Right, step up. And in fact, Lisa, who's usually capable, as are the other ladies as well, I've actually said to her, you know, take it. Run with it. Just do it. Just actually do it. And I believe that when women feel secure enough to step back, to empower another woman to step up, that's sober, absolute gold for me personally, that I've got to a place in sobriety that I am secure enough as a woman to hand over the reins to another brilliant, capable, amazing, fabulous woman and say, there you go.
Yeah, totally.
That's what women, we need. You and I have always supported each other. We're big advocates of each other because women need to support each other. And I think that Ola Sober is a living testimony to that. To the leadership team that is core, which is Linda, Lynn and Prue and Lisa, taking them all the way home. And I think that is, that's if you like, that microcosm of women of intellect and ability, being unafraid and being bold, only can have the advantage of the position they're in because they're sober.
Oh, totally.
And that is what's rocking about what's happened in Ola Sober, is that the magazine is, as you know, is like my real child. And I adore it with every fibre of my being. And the community and the academy are, you know, education and community are really important. But I've been acting in a way that I think is an indictment on my own personal journey in sobriety by saying, there you go, I'm stepping back. Yeah, no one's been left in the lurch. You're
exactly. Yeah, I love it.
He will hold you. And I think that I hope in some way that by stepping back, I have showed other women that it's okay to do all you can do at something and then step back and hand it over, because there's another chapter in you and it may not be exactly where you're sitting right now. It can be different. We can innovate. We can change. We can only do this. My favorite line at the moment is Ray Carver, the American poet. He had sobriety for 10 years when he was diagnosed with cancer. And he said to his friends, you know, don't be sad for me. Every day since I got sober is the gravy. And I think that the second chapters we have in sobriety is the gravy. And it allows women of a certain age, let's be frank here, women of a certain age, maybe 40, 50, 60, 70, to have another chapter in sobriety. But they only get to do that if they practice self-care, if they put in the boundaries, and if they take care of themselves, mind, body and spirit. So ironically, my act of self-care this week to myself is drinking lots of water.
Yeah.
Don't laugh, but I'm sitting here drinking my lemon water.
Yeah. Well, we it's very easy to forget the basics. You know, even those of us who've been steeped in health and well-being for years, I sometimes go through phases where I think, God, I really feel a bit bloated. What's going on? And I kind of ask myself, have you been drinking? No, of course I bloody haven't. I completely forgot. Like, what is going on? We have, you know, sometimes the basics we need to write on our arm in pen.
That's it. Self-care can often start, particularly in the early days, you know, when it's don't think, don't drink phase of early sobriety. And particularly now the sun is out, the Euro champion football is on TV. People are longingly looking out at wine glasses and beer glasses. And
yeah, it's a trigger for sure, isn't it? The sunshine can be a trigger.
Am I missing it? So the truth of the matter is, in that early stage when it's, you know, don't think, don't drink, you know, the basics of, you know, good food, water and sleep can hold you in good stead.
Yeah.
But you're so frazzled that you can forget those basics.
Exactly that.
Now I would also throw in vegan ice cream, Janie.
Nice. I know. You're absolutely right. And when I've had clients who have slipped up, relapsed, I hate that word, but you know what I mean. Yeah. I'll sometimes say to them, okay, well, you know, no judgment. We've all been there. We can get you back on the horse. But what was happening just before you slipped up? What was going on? And in every case, they never say, oh, well, I was, you know, everything was going great, but then I tripped over a glass of wine. It's always a case of, well, actually, now I think about it, I was rushing about, hadn't eaten properly for a couple of days. I got really upset and had a conversation with my ex or whatever it is. They always know exactly what it was. And it's always that they'd taken their eye off the ball when it comes to the self-care piece.
They do. And I think that the other piece that's often, again, overlooked, because sometimes you and I feel like we're beating a drum. But I, too, when I find women that have fallen, killing themselves in plain sight, quite frankly, some of the time, I think one of the ones that they also fall down in is connection, because sometimes they can become too laissez-faire.
Totally.
About the importance of community and connection. And often women, you know, a year in, 2 years in, you know, 3 years in, they can get quite lazy about their sober routines and rituals and the acts of self-care. Mm. And sometimes in that phase, boredom sets in and they kind of go, well, I'm bored with the whole bloody thing, this sober lark. I'm bored with it, right? Which is why I harp on about routines and rituals.
Yeah,
yeah. Sober capital in the bank every day. So that on the times, for example, when we left the medic's office in March, you know, how long is a piece of string? And they cut it all the way back to a really short piece of string. You know, what did I do in that crisis trauma moment leaving the doctor's office? I instantly connected with my sober girlfriend. Yeah. And I came home and I went on a Zoom call with my sober sisters, my closest girlfriends. And I went A, B, C, right? So connection and community. There's me, 5+ years sober, when I get told this. But I just went into my default setting, which is sober connection, community, talk it out, say it out, take the power out and fear, take the fear out of the words.
Yeah.
And I think that summertime is upon us in Ireland and England and across Europe. And we need to be very mindful of the fact that, you know, there was maybe decades of our life where we drank volumes of wine at this time.
Mm. Yeah, no, totally. All the old associations are very strong, aren't they?
And yes. And we need to replace those with, like last week, my friend was in from the States. We went into the city. We had cake. Do you understand? You know, back in the day, I'd have gone for a glass of wine, wouldn't I? No, we went and we'd rabbit cake. There you go, a new thing. Rabbit. We had carrot cake and then we had chocolate, right? So we went, we had the fabulous, gorgeous, you know, experience of being, you know, in the city, you know, the noise, the people, all of that. She'd come in from the States, so she was dying to sit on a bench and watch Spanish people walk by. And we had cake and it was fabulous and we had a wonderful time, right? So therefore, I think self-care, sometimes people get lost and they forget the basics. And the basics are food, water, sleep, connection, community. Boundaries is number one.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? I mean, anyone who listens to this podcast will have heard me say before, I've said it a lot, but I did not know what boundaries meant. I thought that people who set boundaries or ever said no were just really mean. Like, how mean are you? You've just said no to me. I now realise that of course they're essential. And I'm much better at it now. I still think I've got a way to go. Let's put it that way.
I never had one. Can I be honest? In my drinking career, I didn't know what a boundary was either.
No, it's fine.
I wouldn't have known a boundary if it came up and slapped me in the face.
Yeah.
I look back on my life now and I know that I've worked way too many hours. Do you understand?
Yeah,
I have no boundaries even at work. I have no boundaries in my work at Ola Sober, which was volunteering. I have no boundaries. I was often up till 2 or 3 in the morning doing the magazine. What? Like, what is that about? So therefore, I think boundaries is a gift for me in sobriety. And it's about, and you know what? It's something that I have to personally revisit every month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just because 5.5 years ago, I found out, you know, that no was a full sentence. And I began to exercise that. They say the only people who are pissed off when you make boundaries is those that benefited from you having none.
Exactly that.
So I feel that I have to, because I was so bad at it for 52 years of my life and only met it in sobriety for the first time, I need to revisit it every month.
Yeah. Now, that really makes sense. And I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, you know, when you're drinking, and I mean, I'm maybe just speaking for myself, but I hated it if anybody didn't like me, in inverted commas, you know, or I couldn't bear it. It was like almost more than I could bear. Oh, my God, they don't like me. But now I like myself. I don't care. I can fuck off, right? It doesn't matter, does it? Not everyone's going to like you, right?
No, but
I wasn't able to accept that when I didn't like myself. That's what it's really about.
I was going to say, that's at the root of it, that many of us were deeply sensitive.
Yeah.
Often overdramatic because we were deflecting. We needed to create dramas. We accelerated and threw fuel on fire and made dramas even bigger.
Yeah.
And I think that there are so many gifts of sobriety. You and I could talk from here until hell freezes over. But what you've just said is really, really, really important, because in sobriety, there is a realness about who we become.
Well, we become authentic, don't we?
We do.
It changes everything.
To like ourselves. It's a slow process, but we do, right? And when we get to that point of going, well, you know, I'm kind of a decent woman and I'm, you know, I'm a decent old sod. And if someone comes along and they don't like us, it doesn't affect us.
Yeah, it's not our problem.
No, it's not our issue. And our bubbles are small. Mm. They're tight and they're real. Mm. And we live in the real world. But we have learned the most valuable lesson of all in life, which is, do you like and respect yourself? And if you can answer that with your hand and heart and say, yeah, I do, well, then you're good to go. And the rest of them can go feck off.
Yeah.
It's not important. It really isn't important. And I love the sentence, you know, I didn't get sober for this shite. And I say it all the time because, you know, when dramas happen or Mary says, Bridie said that, and then Bridie says the other and she doesn't like you, I'm like, couldn't give a flying fiddlers.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Doesn't bother me. Doesn't legitimately get through, right? Because I think that in sobriety, your lens and the prism through which you look at life is fundamentally changed.
Totally.
It's more powered.
Yeah.
And we don't no longer seek external validation in the way that we did when we were drinking. So my boundary in stepping back, I believe, is testimony to that part of my sobriety, whereby the external validation that I would have sought in my drinking career, it no longer exists. I'm not doing it for anyone else.
No, exactly.
I'm doing it for me.
Totally. What would you say? I mean, maybe between us we can come up with, I haven't prepped anything, but between us we can come up with a couple of tips for somebody who, you know, maybe they're early days or they've not been sober for long, and they've got an understanding of what we're saying and they know that it's the time to set some boundaries. Where do we start? What do you think are the questions we have to ask ourselves to begin setting boundaries? I mean, as you said, you know, number one, no is a complete sentence, and that's always a great starting point. So I always say to people, you know, when someone says, oh, okay, do you want to go to whatever it is, party next week, or you know, hen party, or whatever the hell, and you need to ask. Sometimes your body knows the answer.
Yeah.
You know, before you actually speak the answer, it's always a good thing to say is, I'll get back to you. I'll let you know. And then literally check in with your body. Where do you feel when you think about this, going to this event, whatever the hell it is, actually find, where does it sit in your body? And your body always knows. It's really interesting. When you take the time to listen to it, your body knows. So if you don't want to go, the answer is no. And you don't even have to give a reason. That's it. No. When are we doing that? End of.
Yeah, and the gut comes alive in sobriety because it has been drowned while we're drinking.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
The gut comes alive in sobriety. Yeah. What I did in early sobriety, for those listening that are at that sort of early skin crawling part of coming to a decision or thinking of making the decision or in the first weeks of sobriety, one of the early tips that I had for myself that really genuinely helped me in good stead was that I had one pledge a day, one rule, which was I wasn't going to drink. And therefore, every single decision I made in my day had to support that. Mm. People, places, and things. And so therefore, I had to eat well. I had to sleep well. So in other words, do I stay up late and watch Netflix? No, I don't. Mm. I need to support that one pledge that I will not drink wine. Will I go to the beer garden? No, because Bridie doesn't support me not drinking and she's going to put me under pressure and she's going to say to me, but why won't you just have one? Because Bridie doesn't understand where I'm at. Yeah. And I don't have the wherewithal to explain to Bridie why I'm not drinking. So therefore, I actually saved myself an awful lot of bother in the first 6 weeks of sobriety by cutting things out of my schedule. And I did go into a bit of a bubble. I'll be honest with you, a bit of a bubble. I turned down invitations. I practiced no a lot, pissed off quite a few people, I suspect. But because I was determined to not only crack it, but live in full, right? Live fully. I knew I wanted to crack it, give it, throw the kitchen sink at it, so that once I cracked it, then I could, if you like, continue living my life in a healthy and a happier way.
Yeah.
And the question I had asked myself was, can I continue living my life healthily and happily, drinking a bottle every night? No, I can't. Mm. So how do I deal with that? I ask for help. And now I've asked for help and I get help. And now what do I do? Now I have to do everything I can to support that one.
To maintain it.
To maintain it. And it needs to be, for me, it was that basic. And then, of course, like every other woman in the sober space, I bought a journal.
Of course.
I actually genuinely did. I bought a journal.
Me too, yeah.
And I that's when I started writing daily emails.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And I hit 2,000 days of sobriety on Friday.
I know. Well, that's when this podcast is out. So congratulations. Amazing.
You.
How wonderful.
And I have been writing an email for 2,000 days, Jenny.
Amazing. Amazing. I wrote a blog post about what I'd learnt in 2,000 days. It was quite interesting when I took the time to do that and to look back, because without a doubt, you know, it gets better every year, right? And that's, I never would have believed that. If you'd have told me that, you know, six, 7 years ago, if you'd have told me, I'd have thought, oh, well, I guess after the initial excitement of, you know, of the first year, everything's all going to go flat. But no, everything doesn't go flat. It gets better every single year, every single year.
It does. And those in early sobriety need to be unafraid of leaning on their fellow sober connections in the
Social
Club, in Ola Sober, wherever their sober community is.
Yeah.
They need to go, because you know what? Sometimes self-care in early days is a meeting and a get-together. It's a get-together with other sober people, be that online, be that over coffee or cake. That's self-care as well in early days.
It is.
You and I, the women, all over the world, sitting in their kitchens, drinking their head off, who are now no longer drinking or considering to give up alcohol. They don't have to do it alone. They can find community, but it's not enough to find community in early sobriety. They actually have to get into that place of discomfort. And because sometimes people say, I need help. But then the next thing is they have to take the help that's offered. And the help that's offered is friendship, support, no judgment. And I think that's really important. If you're in early sobriety and you're listening to this, we all know where you're at. And I remember I didn't want anyone to recognize me, and I didn't want anyone to know my name. And I was afraid that then everybody would be talking about me. And I was filled with all of that angst, if you like, of shame and guilt and self-loathing. And that's why self-care became so important to me, even in the early days, because I didn't have the bandwidth to cope with life without alcohol if I thought about everything at once.
Yeah, no,
so
absolutely.
I only had the bandwidth to not think about drinking, talk to sober connections, journal, write an email, drink water, eat vegan ice cream, sleep well. That's all I had the bandwidth for. I didn't have the bandwidth for thinking about, you know, the cosmos or not. No, what I had done, what I should have done, what I said, what I didn't. I didn't have.
No, it's so true. It's so true. I remember where one client of mine was, because often when we've got, when we stop drinking, quite soon after we stop, we suddenly can get all these thought, all the shame comes flying in, right?
Yes.
And one client of mine was telling me that she was literally kind of about 3 weeks in or something and blindsided by a memory that came up where she felt such shame and horror. And her initial thought was, oh my God, I have to start writing letters and make amends and run over there and speak to whoever it was. Absolutely not.
No.
Now is not the time for that. You're in recovery. You've only got to think about strengthening yourself right now. Write about it, journal it, park it. Maybe later down the line work has to be done. But not at that stage. You're literally still in recovery.
No, because here's the bottom line. We are nutritionally depleted.
Exactly. Brain chemistry all over the place.
Minerals, in vitamins. We are depleted in sleep. Yeah. We are deprived of water. These are the basic fundamental things that keep the body working. And we have been pouring alcohol into ourselves for decades. And the bizarre thing is we do that. And then women and men think on day four, why am I not feeling any better?
Yeah.
And I want to say to them in the honor effect, you've been drinking your head off for 30 years. It's a process. It is a journey. We hate the word journey, but that's what it bloody is. Yeah, and in early sobriety, all you've got to do is not drink.
Yeah,
that's bloody it. And when those flashbacks come at 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 5 weeks, whenever, that is a great place in sober community that you can share that and the burden can be shared. And others will say, that was me too. And that was me too. And all we ever want in our shame is to know that we weren't the only ones.
Totally.
And I
to feel
think
heard,
that,
yeah.
You know, shame is of self, guilt is behavior, and self-loathing is shame's best buddy.
Yeah.
Those three bags, suitcases, can be managed by self-care.
Yeah,
by
totally.
Being community, connection, drinking our water, because you know, and I know, that the brain doesn't work effectively if it is not hydrated. The brain doesn't effectively if there isn't good food in your
totally.
So as basic as it may sound, what we're saying, it is the food of life that actually will help people in early sobriety not just survive but thrive. And that's where we want all the women listening and men to be, you know. We want them to take back their power and make their lives in early sobriety simple. Like, keep it simple. This isn't rocket science. We're actually not asking for a deep dive into your history, past trauma. None of it is appropriate, in my opinion. Just in my opinion. I believe all of that's for therapist chair or whatever in a year or two, right? I didn't. I wasn't one of those, should I write amends? Through Jesus Christ, I'd still be writing amends, Janie, 5.5 years later. So, you know, I wasn't one of those. But I did say sorry to my children and husband. But what I do know is that my self-care habits in early sobriety remain daily routine and ritual for me now.
Yeah.
And they are the reason that I felt powerful enough as a sober woman to step back from something I created. It's because of those.
Brilliant. Well, it's amazing, Susan. It's amazing everything you have created. And I think the mag is out next week, isn't it? The next mag.
It's
fantastic.
I'm very excited. Well, I've got a fabulous piece in there from Bruce, one of our Oh Sober Men.
Oh, great.
Yes, he's dead sound. Very cool. A gorgeous piece in there as well about the fabulous Nicola Coughlin Bridgerton, because I feel that, you know, she is doing huge things for body positivity in terms of, and a lot of our women have, you know, you and I would know, would suffer from body image.
Yeah, of course.
They come into sobriety. And we've got the usual fabulous glamour, nail polishes, all kinds of fabulous things. I'm excited it's coming out next week. It is my baby.
Yeah, long may it live. I love it. And a big congratulations on your 2,000 days.
Thank you. Very funky
number. Love it.
It is. It's the most magnificent.
It is, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful?
I'm so bloody excited about being 2,000 days. I cannot tell you. It's ridiculous.
I know, it is amazing. I know. I felt like that. It was lovely. It was just really lovely.
There's something round about it. I don't know what it is, but it actually means something to me. And I personally believe, to anybody listening, let me say this. The only thing that I can say definitively that I've learned over the last 2,000 days is that my sober life gets better and better every single day of those 2,000 days. And every single one of those days is the gravy.
Yeah.
Because I've had the privilege of having a chapter in my life that I should never have had, because if I kept drinking, it wasn't going to continue. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally.
And I'm sitting here happily chatting to you and grateful for your podcast.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Susan. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to the mag and all of the other exciting work coming up. And I'll put the links in the show notes. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Susan. So I'll make sure we put the links. Definitely try and get yourself a copy of Hola Sober magazine. It's just fantastic. And also, don't forget, join us in the Sober Club, thesoberclub.com. And if you do thesoberclub.com/events, that will take you to what's going on in the next few weeks, including our Family Constellations workshop, which is on Sunday, 21st of July in Hertfordshire. It'd be great to see some of you there. It's the most amazing work. It's not always the easiest to describe exactly what Family Constellations is, but it's very powerful. It can really help people to see their own lives, their own the system that they work within, if you like, within their family system, their ancestry, to see it in a completely different way. It gives you a different perspective. It helps you to recognize the importance of honoring who you really are and honoring where you came from. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be best friends with your family. Not everyone is, of course, but it just gives you an understanding of what might have been passed on. You know, we talk sometimes about intergenerational trauma. All of this stuff is really impactful, you know, really makes an impact on what might be going on with you now. It's quite incredible that, you know, if we can heal the past, and we really can in a very short session in Constellations, but when we heal the past, we can literally heal the present. And it also means that we become the person, it can stop with us. We don't have to pass it on any further. And that really is magical, to think that we could be the person who is able to break a cycle of
negative thinking, negative beliefs, limiting beliefs, blockages. We can literally break it. It can stop with us. That's very powerful. So I'd love you to come along if it's of interest. If you don't know what it is, just you know, have a little read of some of the stuff on my site, and you're very welcome to drop me a message and I'll try and give you more information. You can find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. And of course, all of the info is at thesoberclub.com. Click on events if you want to come along and join us for that workshop or another one in the future. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.